Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Daria.
Talking to me?
Hello and welcome to Arya Talking to Me, a Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon podcast. My name's Ben Vanel. I'm joined by a person who's named Adam Knox. How are you, Knox?
That's me. I'm good. I've coincidentally just watched an episode of House of the Dragon. It's so weird that we're now going to talk about it. Yeah.
I just happen to have this 1 hour free each week at sort of like midday Australian Eastern Standard Time.
I'm logging on at random times, so it's crazy that it's worked out so far. It's as coincidental as like fucking like Daemon Targaryen being able to stand just outside of a door so that he can wait and surprise everyone at the exact moment, but nobody was like, is that fucking Daemon Targaryen with the big blonde hair back there?
Yeah. He's come past about 79 people to get to that door. No one's called out.
He's the most invisible man. If he doesn't wear the cloak, he's invisible. If he does wear a cloak, no one sees him walking for hours into the hills to murder his wife.
Yeah, and then, where did he go after that? It was never sort of covered what happened next.
Who cares?
He seems to exist purely in sort of like a very showy theatrical realm, whereas everyone else seems to exist in like an equivalent of the Dark Ages.
Right, and I totally buy that he's getting away with it. It just also makes me think of him crouched for hours behind some little table so that he could pick the exact moment where people are like, ooh, Daemon. And then like the queen saw him doing that, was like, good idea, I'll do that later too.
Oh, yeah. He reminds me of, do you remember Tony Wonder from Arrested Development?
I don't remember Tony Wonder. Was he the guy who kept popping up at Gene? Was that Gene?
No, that was Gene Parmesan. Tony Wonder was Ben Stiller's character, the magician, who he would hide in like, you know, somewhere in the scene and wait for someone to use the word wonder. And then he would pop out with a bunch of smoke and be like, did someone say wonder?
Wonder. Right. Well,
But often he would be like, it had cut to him, 10 minutes ago, like hiding in a dumbwaiter, just being like, God, someone hurry up and say wonder.
That's exactly what I'm imagining, except there's not a word that rhymes closely enough with Daemon that he can pull it off in the same way. So he just doesn't say things most of the time.
Yeah. He just has to time it properly. Last week was a great episode. We both enjoyed that. And so did all of our listeners. Or every single one of them. And a couple of them pointed out both, the same sort of thing we might have overlooked. And I do think this is like probably meant to be in the text and we just didn't pick up on it. But I'll read this email here from Elvis. He's back.
The king.
He's back. The king himself.
The king consort. Says,
oh, very nice. He says, what's up, fellas? Just finished listening to the latest ep, and something stuck out to me as you were discussing the scene where Daemon and Rhaenyra were in the brothel. It seemed to me that Daemon wanted to do it, but he couldn't because he could not get it up.
Similar to
what happened. Yeah, it happened to him in the first episode, and we were like, "What's going on there?" That is why Elvis believes is why he got frustrated and left. I'm not sure if his impotence is connected in any way to guilt about what he was doing, but it felt like the show was trying to draw a connection between the two times that we've seen him have, and this was the subject of the email, Willy problems. Either way, it'll be interesting to see where it leads. Thanks, Elvis, and thanks to the other people who sent in that same theory.
Willy problems as well. Bloody Chris Rock had it the Oscars.
Ooh.
Big Willy problems. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry to end the podcast so soon. that makes sense. I had forgotten about that until because Rhea or Rhea?
Rhea, I think, yeah.
His lady wife who he murders early on in this episode, she kind of yeah. makes a joke about it as her last words, and good on
yes.
her.
Yep. So yeah, I think that absolutely confirms it, and I don't know why we overlooked it, because it, in retrospect, it feels, yeah, a little bit obvious.
It's just something that never comes up in my brain. I just never even think that it's a possibility for a penis to do that. It's just something I don't ever have to think about.
I've never had anything in the real world to compare that to, so I didn't recognize it as being, yeah. Okay, so this episode, episode 5, halfway through season 1 of House of the Dragon, the episode is titled We Light the Way. See if we can figure out what that means by the end of the bloody recap.
Sure.
But yes, as you mentioned, it opens with a couple of bloody beautiful shots. I loved the filmmaking in this episode. Those like drone shots and, you know, helicopter shots of, is it like the Irish Hills? Is that where this is filmed?
I'm not sure. They do film an island sometimes, and this does look beautiful like Ireland. So that wouldn't surprise me if this was there, but wherever it is, picturesque fucking scene. Lady Rhea to be riding off. She sees her cousin and they have just like a quick little, fuck you kind of talk on the way out. And we figure out based on this, I didn't know who she was at first, and eventually on this like hooded figure she sees showing up, she recognizes him and goes, oh, hello, husband. And there's Damon. Mm. So you go, oh, okay, mm-hmm. this is the wife that he keeps calling fugly.
Yeah, yeah. I it's such a shame because I was like, oh, she's sick. She's like funny and like, you know, forthright and seems very strong. And it's like, oh, yeah, you don't like her because she can stand up to you.
Right.
Well, I mean, to a certain point, and then she lies down to you.
First thing, yeah, she's immediately like, fuck you, fuck a sheep. I hate you.
Yep.
You're lame.
Yep. Yep.
And... yeah, Daemon Targaryen unfortunately knows horse magic and makes this horse like flip up backwards and land on her,
yeah,
breaking her neck. It's obviously impossible to film this in a way that doesn't look, unless you're going to CGI a horse, which are like the most dangerous things to fuck with. It looked crazy and I couldn't figure out what was going on for a second. But
yeah,
this horse, he like... scares it and upends it, and it lands on Rhea,
yeah,
and breaks her neck enough to move her mouth and say a few fucking cool things to. Because even if I'd have tried to make the little limp dick joke, which she goes for, I'd have been like, "All right, floppy, finish me off, douche." Like, she's quick with it, and unfortunately, cops a cutaway shot of a fish getting chopped off to the head.
Yep. Yeah, that was a real shame. But a great little showcase for whoever that actor is. I hope she gets, you know, a bunch of work out of it, because it was a really memorable performance.
Yeah, I was the same, where I was like, cool, a new interesting character will get to spend some time with. A shame, but also exactly what I'm surprised Damon hasn't done earlier.
Yeah, yeah. I should point out for listeners, I am... once again, reading the recap from Men's Health, just if anyone was wondering.
I'm also watching the recap by watching the show on Binge, which is the thing it's on over here in Australia.
I think Men's Health is a little bit more accurate.
They're both stupid fucking names for a thing that... there's a fish.
Viserys is doing the opposite of Binge. He's purging.
True.
His lunch.
He's done with whatever that, I guess the fish that they were chopping up before, because
sure. Yep.
They're catching it live on the way wherever they're going between. They're on a ship, a whole bunch of Viserys' people, including Rhaenyra and Cole. Kristen Cole.
Yep. Yes.
I'm getting the names. We're halfway through. Well,
I don't know. I mean, I thought, I was convinced that he was not going to last much longer than this episode, but we'll get to that later. Yeah, Cole is there, obviously, her bodyguard. And we've got Corlys. He's there, right? He's going
back. Corlys is home already.
Oh, yeah. He's already there. Oh, that's right.
Because he doesn't come to meet them later.
Yeah.
We just see that they're on a ship on the way to whatever their house is called, the Valyrian house. Yes. And the king just, looking awful. He's got seasickness, but also it seems to be everyone's looking pretty worried at him. Yes. The new hand, who is Lionel Strong,
yep,
lead actor in Succession.
He does kind of look like a lion, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's...
That's what the name makes me think of.
That would be the fact that it contains the word lion. I would imagine that's making you make that connection.
No, it's something else.
But he's the new hand. He's the guy who's always been pretty measured, and the king obviously appreciated his counsel the 10 times he went for it before whenever he had a problem. So, makes sense that this guy's been upgraded to hand. And before they get to the Valyrian house, we go back to King's Landing and see Otto Hightower on his way out.
That's right.
Pouring with rain. Because it doesn't seem like there's been much of a time jump between these episodes. We're picking up pretty quickly after the last one where,
Yes.
They'd sort of decided by the end of that episode, all right, we'll marry you off to Lane. Lano and Woodley.
Yeah.
You take your pick. Lano's a bit more serious. Woodley's a bit more silly. So
do you want a quick wit, or do you want someone who's very physical?
Exactly. Because Lano will be maybe a little stricter, but he'll get things done. Woodley more fun, a little bit clumsier. So which kind of a husband would you like to have? there's a lot of rain going on when Otto's leaving, and Alison comes out to sort of say goodbye and that she's a bit sorry for seeing him leave. And then moments later in another scene that doesn't seem to have taken place that much longer, I suppose they've had time to sail back, so there must have been a while in between. They're talking about how nice the weather has been. I just figured it out whilst talking.
Yeah.
But ships take a while.
They were scheduling, the filming, and they were like, oh, well, it's going to be great weather for this entire month, so we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And just one day it rained. They're like, well, fuck, I guess we've got to not acknowledge it.
We're going to have yet another beautiful Irish March. So, Otto's on his way out. He's been made to leave by the king, who's promptly fucked off somewhere else.
Yep.
And him and Alison have this conversation here where she's sort of saying, look, I really believed her. I'm sorry that it led to this. I genuinely didn't think that you would get kicked out. I thought you'd be maybe a bit reprimanded. I thought you got some wrong information. Didn't think you'd go this far. And he tells her that he doesn't seem mad at her, but he seems like you've put yourself in such a fucking dangerous position here where the second that he dies, and it's not going to be long, he won't live to be an old man, knives are going to come out for you and for your kids, because the only way that Rhianna's getting to the throne is by killing your children.
Yeah, because she had been before he hits back with this, she's like, well, why were you so bloody, convinced that you needed to get, Aegon on the throne?
Right.
What's it's kind of your own fault that you overstepped the mark and that's why you're getting fucked off. But yeah, I mean, I think he's proven right, and I think she realizes it by the end of the episode that
you're
in a pretty shit position.
Because he tells her, you're not foolish, but you're choosing not to see this. And I think her friendship, her childhood friendship with Rhaenyra has made her fall into this position where she's hoping that everybody can get along.
Yeah.
And this is a wake-up call for her, where by the episode she's acting as though, oh, right, of course it won't be able to work. I've got to actually do some shit about this. She might be my favorite actor and character on this show.
Yeah, interesting. I feel like she is maybe getting positioned a bit similar to someone maybe not Ned Stark, but Robb Stark of Game of Thrones, in that she is maybe the only person with an actual moral center who seems to, make decisions based on that more than self-interest. But and that obviously we know what tends to happen to those people, in these shows. But great performance of it. Great performance of maybe a more relatable character, the way a real person might try and act in these situations.
Right. And I'm getting the sense that from the ending sort of portion of this episode, that yes, she's that moral center character who might have, a little bit more naivety to them as well as having that moral compass. But I feel like we're going to see her break bad. And go in the opposite, because the problem with Rob and the problem with Ned is that they stuck to their morals the whole time and didn't kind of fight back dirty.
Yep.
And I think I get the sense that she's about to get dirty. And
okay,
me and Christina Aguilera, we both respect that in a person.
So what happens next?
So we've
got her moral quandary, but we're back up to the islands.
Yes, we're back with the sea snakes and the Valyrians. That area.
Driftmark is
Drift
it called?
March. Driftmark.
Something. Yeah. Driftwood? No, I'm just Googling. Yeah, Driftmark.
Driftmark. Okay. The way I'm going to remember it is by whenever I think about where the Valyrians are from, think Fast and the Furious director telling a stunt driver named Marcus to drive in the way that I need.
Okay.
Please, Driftmark.
Driftmark.
That's how I'll remember it. That's
love it.
A quick shortcut, which is the second thing I'm telling Mark to take. Don't just drive on the roads like regular. Do quick shortcuts down the alleyways. But we get there to Driftmark proper. They ride a carriage and stuff up. And we see Laenor and some new guy having like a little sword fight out in the courtyard. And they're the only people there. There's no big sort of ceremonial greeting party with Lord Corlys, which they make note of. Like, how dare they?
Is this new guy the ginger?
Yes. This is, we find out later, Joffrey something or other. Who is Laenor's boyfriend.
Yeah.
And confidant and political guy. Much to his detriment towards the back half.
Yes.
But we'll get into that. So sort of the kids show up, the other girl, what's her name? The daughter. She shows up too. They're all kind of there to greet them. It's a bit awkward. Lionel in particular is like, where the fuck's all the fucking ceremony?
Yeah.
I'm Lionel Strong. My last name is Strong in Game of Thrones world.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The ginger guy's name, Joffrey Lonmouth.
Lonmouth.
He's a Stormlander. I don't believe he is a knight, but he's not. He's more like maybe a Criston Cole in terms of, I don't know if he's, the Lonmouths are a huge house.
He seems to be a similar sort of thing where they've got to keep it under wraps both because you assume in Game of Thrones world, I assume with the way they treat every other modern thing is that homosexuality is frowned upon.
Right.
And so it's obviously a bit secret, but it does feel as though they aren't of the same sort of political station either. You're right.
Yeah, yeah.
The Lonmouth boy is there and the other kids, but they've got to go in. So there's already like right from the start of them showing up there, this like kind of concession that the king and that Rhaenyra are making to the Valyrians. He's testing it further and further and further this whole time.
He's doing a power play, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every little thing he does, they have a meeting a bit later that we'll get to because they cut in the middle here a little scene of this the Godswood Garden thing back home in King's Landing.
Yep. Yes.
And the Queen's having a look at it. She's torn up. Her dad's just left. She's been given a little reality check. And who's here to give her a bending reality to your once seemingly check? But some guy named Larys.
Larry, who we had to figure out before we started recording who he actually is.
Yeah.
He's the son of Lionel.
Yes.
He doesn't actually look that much younger than him, really.
No, but he's also sick. He's got, they call him, we looked up their little sort of wiki things without looking at any spoilers. They call him Clubfoot, I assume, in the book. He's got like a birth abnormality. He is Lionel Strong's second son. And there's another one who we see bits and pieces of in this episode called Harwin, who like jumps in the fight too late later on. But
yes.
Larry does some classic Game of Thrones read between the lines bullshit with the Queen here.
I love this scene.
Yeah,
we've both already enjoyed the amount of like politicking and manipulation and stuff that's happened in the show. But this steps it up. And it, I guess does it in a style that's more reminiscent of Game of Thrones, where it's real like, I'm planting a seed in your head.
Totally.
I know I'm being passive aggressive, but I know what I'm doing. And Yeah. I loved what happens with this sort of little plot line. But yeah, I loved this scene.
Yeah.
He did a lot of talking out of the side of his mouth and mentioned the tea.
Exactly. He's like
implied.
How are you feeling? Okay. Oh, how's Rhaenyra doing? I heard she got sick because she had to have that tea they specially made for her that I snuck around and know about somehow. Because we've seen this guy one other time in like that second episode with the hunt where he's sort of in that gossip tent as well.
Yes.
He's around. He's got machinations. And
he certainly does.
I'm interested to see more from Larry here. But yeah, he tells her about the tea is the main thing out of this.
And obviously this is like, you know, it's a she infers like, oh, it's the abortion tea.
Right.
Maybe she did fuck Daemon. Because she talks about with Otto earlier, like, yeah, I believe Rhaenyra, and Otto's like, you wanted to believe her because you're friends.
Exactly.
But there's a bit of evidence to the contrary.
Yeah, Larry gives her the tea in every single way. They have that little chat while, meanwhile, back up in Driftmark. The king, sweaty as hell, not looking good, walking up through these, like, very cool seafaring corridors with big paintings of ships and, like, skulls with sailors' hats on them and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. It's almost like this family seems really strong and Viserys seems really weak.
Yeah. I'd have called this family the Strongs. Because I'm a bad rider. The Corlys is sitting on his throne as the king enters. Like, what a fucking disrespectful thing to do to the person who's meant to be your king. But, you know, he does it and then comes and gives him a little kneel and plays nice with him and stuff. And then his the king's cousin shows up. What's her name? His wife. Corlys' wife.
Rhaenys?
Something like that. It's another R1.
Oh, we've got our character map. We should just reference
it. I wish I hadn't jumped in so early by going like, I know the names now, halfway through. These are the Strongs.
Fuck, where is she? Yeah, Rhaenys.
All the way
on the other side of the family tree, yes. Yeah, and there's a guy named Anus earlier on. It's a great family tree. Thanks, Jeremy Webb, for sending us this and a bunch of other information. Weed Wide Web for all your Weed Wide Web needs.
we have a little chat here between the king and Corlys, where the king offers the marriage. Hey, how about my daughter, your son? What do you reckon? And again, Corlys being like, how good would that be? Can you sweeten the pot a little bit? Can I chuck a Velaryon at the end of the king's name later on? And obviously that's not going to happen. But he does concede that while the kids will be called Velaryon while they're alive, before taking the thing, before becoming the king or queen, and then regardless of gender, the firstborn's going to jump on. So he's like even broader than making his daughter the next queen. It seems as though his intention is to change the entire way it's done, where just firstborn, regardless of gender, which I guess you'd have to make it and forever to legitimize the first one.
Yes.
But so that's part of it. And they'll be named Velaryon while they're kids. Then when they take the throne, they become a Targaryen again.
Yep.
Because the Targaryens.
That's a fair deal.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's better than.
Yeah.
Like, in that case, everyone knows they're a fucking Velaryon by the time they take the thing. Targaryen becomes just like they weren't called queen earlier, but now they are.
Yeah.
It's
just some
regal title and you delete the lineage almost and they become Velaryon. So the king's fucking desperate as hell here.
Totally. And I think, you know, he justifies it later in a speech that is rudely interrupted as like, it's uniting the dragon families. Like.
Right.
It should be recognized almost as one of the same because of, you know, the lineage and the history and where they came from. So, not a bad deal for anyone, I don't think. It's kind of a win-win.
It's a smart deal and it's the same as he is where, like, he doesn't have that, like, damaging level of pride. He's like a sensible guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than the fact that he refuses a chair. They offer him a chair and he's like, no. You can sit down. You're the king. You're allowed to sit.
Yeah.
You're meant to do
it. And also the fact that he refused to wed the 12-year-old and already do this.
Well, yes,
you know,
true.
years ago.
Making up for that mistake now, I suppose.
Yeah. Yep. Yes, exactly.
But meanwhile, Thingo, the son, Greg, what's his fucking name? God, why am I so bad with names in a show that's only about names?
Leno. Oh, we missed a whole conversation that's really crucial, by the way. That conversation between Kristen Cole and Rhaenyra on the boat.
That hasn't happened yet. That's on the way
home.
Oh,
hasn't it?
No. Yeah, that's... Okay. They,
oh, it's on the way home.
Yeah, right. They have that a bit later. Because first of all, Leno has a chat on the beach with Rhaenyra.
That's right.
And they set up like, hey, want to be Polly? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. Who wouldn't be in this day and age?
But the kind of Polly where I don't have sex with my main partner.
Right. Yeah, he's like, obviously this guy's like open secret or whatever. She's like, I know that you love goose. I love duck. Goose and duck are just as good. Geese are bigger than ducks most of the time. So you get more, if anything.
They're greasy, apparently, according to her.
Bit of a funny thing to throw it in, but they set up an arrangement that, like, we know this marriage is political, let's treat it as such, which, yeah, absolutely, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and so, yeah, why wouldn't we do this marriage now that we know that our, you know, consorts, our lovers, will be around forever to love us?
Right.
It's great.
Yeah, these guys, they're always going to be within arm's reach, and that won't ever become a problem. So they set that up and seemed pretty okay with it. Like, they're both smiling, and I reckon these guys, had things gone right, this probably would have worked out pretty well.
Yeah,
Everyone seems quite into it.
Yep. How many times can you say that about something in Game of Thrones world, though?
Right.
Had this not got fucked up by, you know, chance or selfishness or alcohol, but yeah, I agree.
And this is the sort of thing that Rhaenys starts saying to Corlys after they've had this meeting, and he's like, did I push it a bit much? Was it all right? And she's like, no, it's okay. But like my cousin or brother or whoever he is fucked this up. So yep. he's repairing that and we're fine. But you've just put our son in like enormous danger.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, no, but he'll be king consort. That's great for us. But yeah, as Rhaenys points out, like, no one is going to let Rhaenyra be queen.
Yeah.
People have sworn the oath because Viserys is king and he told them to, but they won't allow a woman on the throne. Like, that's... You're looking at the example of that.
Exactly.
Stop forgetting that.
She knows this better than anyone, and he kind of says this sort of bullshit line about, like, well, it's justice for you because you were meant to have the crown. And she's like, nah, I never had it, and I've made peace with it. Grow up.
Yeah.
Like, this is cool, but it's also... It's gonna... There will be a war. About this.
Yeah. We've got to have follow-up moves planned because this isn't the end of the game.
Right. Speaking of follow-up moves, the two lovers are planning theirs. What special little moves they're going to do with each other.
Oh, okay.
In some lovely-looking grass.
Yeah, this looked like a scene out of a romance film.
It
did. This was just delightful.
Well, because they've both got the long hair and the flowy shirts that Fabio used to wear.
Oh, yes, very true.
But so Joffrey and Leno kind of talk about, hey, this is sick. We're going to end up top of the pile and we can still be together because you've sorted it out. She must. And so this is where Joffrey starts, the cogs start turning, and he's like, she's got to have someone in mind if she's making this deal straight away.
Yes.
So I reckon there's someone about for her. And he's right.
He's correct.
It's old level-headed Kristen Cole.
Oh, God, yeah. This is when the scene happens.
Yeah, they're on their way home. Yeah. There's a beautiful sunset. Why ruin it by being a psycho? Because Kristen Cole...
Talk about fucking naivete. Like, this is the guy. This is like dumber than Ned Stark sort of innocence.
Oh man, this fucking dude. So you've got to assume that this has been an ongoing thing since we saw them have sex that one time. These guys seem as though they've been doing it for a while. And like, Rhaenyra's into Kristen. Rhaenyra likes him.
Sure.
But she's realistic. And has grown up a lot in terms of, like, you know, she's had those chats with her dad and come to terms with what her responsibilities are. And fucking Kristen Cole's like, what if we run off and live off of oranges in another country?
Oh, God. So stupid.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just like, honestly, that kind of thing should have given her the ick. You know, it's like, I think she realizes probably this is a problem, that this is how innocent you are.
Right.
And how, quote unquote, like, you know, honorable you are. This is like so dumb.
I agree. Like, by the end of this conversation, he gives her this whole thing of like, we can sneak off, we can have no names, we can go and start again. It'll be lovely. We can be together. We can marry each other maybe over in a different place. Yep. And you can be free.
You can be free. You can be free of your duties. You can be free of the court intrigue and all of this stress. And
free of the crown, which she then says, like, I am the fucking crown. And like, she's right. What more freedom is there technically? I mean, it's a big responsibility, but I don't know, man. If you've got the throne coming up, it sounds like it's harder to run away. And also, like, she... Yeah. Sees this as her duty by now. Like, she's doesn't want to do this very clearly, and this dumb hunk thinks that he can whisk her away, and she rebuffs him. She says, no, I like what we've got, but I'm not you. I can get cinnamon. Don't try and tempt me by saying there's a port with cinnamon. We can have it delivered. I'm the queen.
Also, I can get dick.
Like, right, she doesn't need Kristen Cole around specifically.
Yeah. And he is, refers to himself as her whore, and he storms off.
Right, yeah. He's like, what, you want to? And she's like, no, just be normal.
Yeah.
What the fuck? And so he makes it a bit clearer later on. He doesn't say this in this conversation here, but I think he must say it to her a bit later on somewhere. Maybe it is here. I guess it must be here. He says to her, like, okay, well, I also partly thought if we married each other, I could, like, regain a bit of the honor that I fucked up by having sex with you, because I swore an oath, and now
I think
feel...
he does say it here, yeah.
So he's talking shit as well. Like, he just wants to redeem himself in his eyes by marrying this person he broke his oath with, but, you know, fuck off.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean... To be fair, like, he had no choice because she's the princess.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, he's clearly, like, not brought this up before. This has been bubbling away and he's like, the perfect plan to, for me.
Right.
Whereas it's not really the perfect plan for her.
Exactly. He comes up with this plan of, like, I think you don't want this and I feel like I know you now, so maybe I could whisk you away, and then admits, like, no, it's all my thing. So, you know, you dumb hunk.
Yep.
But they're sailing home, and when they get there, the queen is different. She's looking over this balcony with a very different set of eyes onto the king, who sort of collapses as soon as he gets out of the wagon. He's very much in the process of dying.
Yep. I mean, more so than the rest of us. He is getting closer by the day.
Yeah.
More so than the rest of us. I guess I keep falling into that trap.
And
he's fucking sick.
Allison, like, looking down with, like, you know, planning eyes.
Yes.
And she immediately summons Kristen Cole as, like, the first thing before seeing her husband, who, you know, she doesn't hate, obviously is not in it for all the reasons, the best reasons someone might be, but she's... immediately summons Kristen Cole to her place to... She very conveniently talks around the thing she's asking about in, like, a way that's a bit fucking Frasier. You know what I mean?
A bit soap opera-y a little bit farcical, a little bit, like, a little bit Days of Our Lives almost as well.
Yeah. She's like, so that night did... I heard she maybe fucked someone, might you know who... and he spills the beans. She was obviously talking about Damon, and then
she did fuck someone.
But who do you mean? But if you're here, then, like, it comes out in the silliest way, and then she keeps it together and doesn't go like, oh no, that's not what I meant. But this admission from Kristen does sort of, you can see in her face that she's like, oh well, maybe it's all true. And Rhaenyra didn't tell me about that part of it as well.
See, I thought that it was taken as, and maybe I'm wrong because she does get a little bit more, you know, militaristic as the episode goes. I thought it sort of felt like an exoneration of Rhaenyra fucking Daemon, because it was clear that she definitely fucked Cole.
Oh, interesting. I saw it as, oh, well, if she lied to me about this part of it, then what else did she lie to me about?
Right, right.
When they had the discussion about it, that would have been the time for Rhaenyra to go like, look, I did have sex with Kristen Cole. But
right.
So the fact that she's lied at all, I think just kind of puts her offside. But yeah, Kristen's like, listen, don't cut my balls off. Just kill me.
Just kill me.
But she lets him go. And you know what? If you don't want to cut your balls off, a great way to do some personal grooming down there would be...
It's with the fellows and fellerinas at Manscaped. That's right. We're sponsored once again every week by Manscaped. They they produce the best, the top of the line in men's and or anyone's grooming products. We both recently received their Platinum Package 4.0. I've absolutely tucked right into it.
You're not meant to eat it.
It's got the Lawnmower 4.0, which is an electric razor. It's waterproof. It comes with a bunch of like length clipper guard things for adjusting, you know, how much you shave off. Mm-hmm. It comes with a USB charger. It has a little safety guard on it, so you never get any nicks or cuts. Best electric razor on the market, in my opinion. And it also comes with the Weed Whacker, which is a nose hair and ear hair trimmer if you happen to have hair growing there. It's come to that point in my life where hair has started to grow in surprising new places. mainly just my nose. And the Weed Whacker is fucking fantastic for it. It, like... The very first time I went to use it, I was like, oh, is this gonna hurt or something? I don't know why. I guess I'm just putting something up my nose, but it's not. It's like super smooth and clean and does the job perfectly.
Yeah. In a post-COVID world, I'm so used to having shit up my nose now that like
very true.
It goes up there very smooth. Good like shampoo, body wash. They make a whole bunch of products and I like them. And if you reckon you might like them, take the plunge. If it sweetens the deal for you, you can keep your own last name as well. And I'll give you 20% off and free shipping if you use the code ARIA at checkout for your Manscaped things.
That's a pretty fucking good deal.
I'm a generous guy.
Thanks, man. And thanks to Manscaped for sponsoring this episode and every episode of ARIA Talking to Me. That's right, manscaped.com. Manscaped.com? I don't know if they make a comb yet, but they should. Manscaped.com, code ARIA, 20% off free shipping. What a fucking deal.
A great deal. A good deal of, a good deal of care being put in by one of the maesters here, but the Grand Maester... kind of poo-poos it. I don't know if this was him being like old-fashioned, but like one of the guys who's not the Grand Maester's like, hey, I've got this fucking balm or whatever that might help the king out a bit more. And the Grand Maester's like, no, the leeches are fine. I don't know if he's got a secret plan that he wants the king dead. I don't know if this is just him being an idiot or if this is just nothing.
Now, look, we got an email from our friend Jeremy and he provides some background information. It's maybe a theory more than like something that's real. But there's been a theory about Game of Thrones that the Maesters have always been sort of like trying to manipulate things for their own reasons.
Right.
Not for political necessarily reasons, not for anything, you know, that we've seen. You know, we've seen, Pycelle was the Maester in Game of Thrones who did seem to have his own sort of weird thing going on the whole time.
Well, there was that cut scene from him where he like straightens up and talks normally.
Yes.
When he's talking with Daddy Lannister.
Tyrion?
Tywin.
No, Tywin.
So,
Charles Dance.
Yeah, Tyrion is Zaddy Lannister. But
Yeah.
So, like, there's clearly some other shit going on with them. We've just never really explored it in the shows, I suppose, too much.
Yeah, but yes, potentially this is... Because it did seem sus.
I noticed it for sure.
On the surface, it's like old-fashioned, but also like he is dying more with every episode. So the younger Maester tries to give him a herbal poultice, and he's like, no. But
so it's just
does not look well.
Leeches and poppy milk here, and a little chat with his new hand about like how am I going to be remembered. So he's very aware that he's on his way out, as he would be after you'd had all this shit happen. But
he has his like very, very like relatable, like, like, what is my reign been? You know, what is anyone going to remember me? Like,
it's very relatable. I'm always thinking about how my reign will be viewed.
I believe he says something like, we're the middle children of history, man.
He kind of does. Wait. He's like, I'm the most boring fucking king. They're not going to sing songs about like, oh, steady. Like, it's...
Yeah.
He thinks that
He's the descendant of conquerors, you know. Right. He's the descendant of, I mean, and everyone around him is, you know, trying to actually do something about it. His brother is constantly, you know, trying to gain power. His daughter is, you know, positioned, which, you know, he's done. He's positioned her as potentially the first queen.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's just like he's the middle guy. He's nothing.
And he, you know, he's sort of going like, if I'd have been tested more, might I have been forged into a different man? Like, right. Could I have been better if things had been harder? But Lionel's like, hey, look, be grateful things weren't harder.
Right.
Which
yeah.
he appreciates. Again, like, that's it's not a nasty thing to say, but the guy's like, you know, a lot of other people might have told me, like, you'd have been so cool. If you'd have had any fight, you'd have done so many backflips.
Yeah.
But
reigning over, you know, 100 years of peace amidst 500 years of peace is not the worst thing to do. Or honestly, yeah, he's not going to live to 100, 50-odd years of peace.
However many you can do, it's an achievement.
Yeah, yeah. It means you didn't fuck it up.
Exactly. And he didn't. He has, I mean, the one thing he fucked up was his succession stuff because he married Alison, which would, that was probably the one... massively bad move that he made.
True, that as soon as he dies, everything will go to shit.
Right. And here come a bunch of those ships that are going to be involved in everything going to shit. On their way to King's Landing for a big royal wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's showing up. There's dragons. There's ships. There's Lannisters. Two of them look the same.
Yep.
So Jason Lannister is like the head of House Lannister, it seems.
Which, I think so. He must be like the minutes older twin, right?
I guess so. And I'd never quite... He looks quite young for a top of the house guy. So yeah. I'd never really thought that he was the big cheese. Maybe they haven't sent number one Lannister yet or something, but...
I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe their dad just died relatively young. But yeah, Jason Lannister, he is the Lord of Casterly Rock, the Shield of Lannisport. What's his brother's name? I thought it was like Justin, but I think it's just like more of a Lannister name.
I think it's like Linus or something. It's like some...
It could be. Let's see. Come on, Jason Lannister. It's got to show me his brother. He's the uncle of Tywin.
Okay.
God, my internet's going slow.
Too many Lannisters. Whatever he is, the brother doesn't even say anything this time. So
yeah.
The brother's definitely the second. Because Jason Lannister, he's the first one to walk in and they do all the announcing of like, here's Jason of House Lannister, Jason, Bo Basin, Fo Faison. And like, goes up and immediately fucking says some like sexist bullshit in front of the future queen.
Oh, yeah.
What is the actual thing he says here? He's like, oh, that's why men fight. The queen's not here because she's still getting dressed. That's why men do everything.
Put on her makeup.
Fine women, can't live with them. Anyway, see ya. Like, this guy sucks. I hate him. But
he sucks. His brother's called Tyland.
Tyland.
Yeah.
Right, that's where I get my tiles.
I thought it sounded like a medication maybe. But yeah, he's quiet and he's got shorter hair. That's how I remember
That's how I remember most twins, to be honest. There's always one twin that's the quieter one. Hopefully they have shorter hair.
Yep.
And we get all the other people showing up. There's like the guy who's someone's fucking dad. Everyone's someone's dad. But then in barges the cousin of Rhea from before.
Yeah.
Mr. Hightower, would he be? Sir Gerald Hightower, does that make sense? No.
No.
Because Alicent is Hightower. Otto.
Yeah, okay.
Rhea, but whoever they are, they're from Royce.
Right, from Runestone, is that what it was called?
That's the place.
Which
is where they were at, and Rhea was going to inherit Runestone, and so...
Yes.
Gerald kind of comes up here and is like, hey...
Oh, in the Vale, that's what they call it.
They're all in the Vale.
Yeah.
So they must be near the Riverlands and the whatever Catelyn was.
The Eyrie
is to do with it for sure, because Thingo says he's going to fly to the Eyrie.
Yeah. I think the Eyrie's in the Vale. They're all around there. Harrenhal's nearby.
To be clear as well, this type of memory is how I am with real people and real places too. So like, this isn't just me not paying enough attention to a show or a story. I have a bad memory, and you're lucky that any nouns have ever stuck in my head.
I should have. I'm a visual learner, so I should have been looking at maps this whole time, because now it's starting to sink in a little bit. I'm looking at a map right now.
Benefit of the books, having a little map at the front of a book. God, I'd love to turn back to that map all the time and be like, who? Where? What the fuck?
Where are they going?
But everybody's showing up one after the other, and Gerald there gets cut off about how he was probably going to complain about Daemon to the king.
Yes.
By the Velaryon showing up to a big, stupid round of applause that definitely everyone there hates to have to do.
Totally, yeah. They really felt like they were swinging their dick around coming in here, stomping. Felt like they made more noise as well, you know?
Yeah.
Like, here we are, the people who are, you know, not the king.
We're the most important ones, and we've got a little seahorse. Just such a funny little emblem to have for, like, the big, powerful house.
Yeah.
But, of course, they're also the other half of the royal wedding, so I guess that's part of the why it's that type of ceremony. This is just the welcoming ceremony too, apparently. This is just the first part of, like, a week-long sort of tournament thing again.
That's right. We'll see the wedding soon, you know, and it'll be way bigger and way more special and nice. Definitely.
Couple of little my betrothed's between Leno and Rhianna. The Lannister bloke looks mad. Older Larry Strong looks like he's got some sort of thoughts about it. Everyone's there's a lot of this sort of last scene is the last sort of third of the episode, this wedding dinner thing here. And it's doing the thing again that I really like of while stuff's happening, it's cutting to all the different people and seeing what they think about it. They're all munching and crunching and raising an eyebrow. I love it.
They've got a lot to digest.
Oh, it's great. I watched the BBC version of Pride and Prejudice this last week, and I didn't realize that that's all it's Game of Thrones. Pride and Prejudice is Game of Thrones.
It totally is.
Here comes Mr. Wickham, fucking Daemon, with his blonde hair, pretending
Who's
to be
Mr.
a good
Darcy
guy.
Who's Mr. Darcy in this? Because it wouldn't be Leno, would it?
Nah.
It'd also be Daemon.
I think Daemon's kind of Darcy, but also maybe like... Oh, there's not really a Darcy. Maybe Alicent. But she's like the anti-Darcy.
But Rhaenyra is definitely Emma.
Sure.
And that's all I know for sure.
Whatever's happening, Daemon's made his entrance now. No clapping. All just awkward walking.
Silence. Yeah, just silence. And he comes up and someone drags a chair over to the end of the table for him.
Yeah. But I think he's gotten like a slight another haircut too.
Yeah, and I think so.
He's yet again made a shitty entrance of himself, and everyone's mad to see him. But he's here
because this is after he's been banished again, right? He'd been sent.
He was sent back to the Vale.
Yeah,
to hang out there, and then I guess he just came back and ignored that order. So and what's the king gonna do with all these people around?
Sure.
Tell him to fuck off. He probably should have.
Probably.
Because shit's about to kick off, not necessarily because of Daemon, but there's a sort of speech that the king starts giving here of like, hey, aren't we cool and aren't the Valyrians cool and like it's sick that we're all matching up and we should have done this ages ago. So nice to have you all here. Over lips, pass the gums, watch our stomach. And then middle of saying stomach, in walks the queen who he'd said earlier was still getting ready, but she interrupts the speech and like causes a bit of a scene. Walking down the middle of a thing with what the gossip rags the next day will be calling that dress.
Them's fighting threads, apparently.
Yeah.
This is the war colours of Hightower, the green war colours.
They light up the flame on the top of the tower, apparently. This is Larry and his brother, Larry and Harry, I think. Having a little chat about like...
Larry and Mo?
You know what those fucking colours mean, the war colours, da-da-da.
Yeah.
So she has had time to think since the king left and has made a decision about how she wants to act going forward, it seems.
Mm. Yeah, aggressively.
Yeah. But she's here, does her like best gritted teeth polite greeting to Rhaenyra, but with like fucking that green fire lit in her eyes. The speech continues, wraps up. Everybody have a bit of fun, please. Aren't we glad these two are getting married? Let's all dance weirdly.
Yeah.
Again, these spinny dances. It's all Pride and Prejudice with the big bird arms.
Oh, totally.
But they start having this dance. Sorry.
Yes, it's Rhaenyra and Laino go out first, right?
Yes.
And do like the what would be the first dance of a wedding almost kind of thing.
Exactly.
Hey, look, everyone, they're the king and the queen of the prom.
Exactly. Meanwhile, Joffrey is having a little look around and very much notices fucking creepy Cole over in the corner just staring at Rhaenyra, looking like a bag of shit. Just a sour face Kristen Cole being a gloomy cunt.
Wait a minute. That really handsome bodyguard is really, like, you know, dedicated to his job. He really doesn't want her to get touched by anyone, especially not Laino.
He just has the look of someone who's about to DM, fine, bitch, I wasn't interested anyway. Like, he's
100%
got that face on.
Yeah. I believe this is when Joffrey drops the term cuntstruck,
which he soon does.
Heard once before. It's from Deadwood, and it's a brilliant word.
He absolutely is. Well, and so soon is Joffrey about to be.
Yeah.
Because, it's boiling. It's about to bubble over. So the other guy from before, he was Otto Hightower's brother, the guy who got interrupted by Godfrey or whatever his name was.
Yep.
So sure. Alicent goes up and has a chat to him, and he's like, hey, know that Old Town stands with you. Like, we're glad that you're kind of doing what you're doing. Like, I think they kind of get what she's about to put in motion.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Because, you know, she doesn't really have a choice, but whatever. And Gerald takes this opportunity as well before Joffrey goes up and has a chat with Kristen since Daemon's there, which I guess he wasn't expecting, to just confront Daemon head on and be like, hey, you killed my cousin, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Daemon's like, nah, probably not. Who's asking?
But also, you know, now that she is dead, I own your city.
Yeah, I play RuneScape now, so
I'm the master of the RuneScape.
I own RuneScape, and
I'm 100 level up on you, brother. Which totally takes this guy by surprise, it seems.
Yeah,
he just did not consider, like, oh yeah, because they were married and he was the king of the town.
Mm-hmm.
He still just gets the town. So he, like, looks a bit sheepish.
Which, probably, considering how many sheep they have around there,
apparently it
makes sense that that's how he looks. But,
yeah,
Daemon's a cunt to him, calls him a bronze cunt. Lots of cunt talk in this one. And I do like that this episode where he murdered his wife and then made a big entrance in this wedding where he wasn't welcome, the first words that he said are like 50 minutes into the episode, and they're just like, who are you? Who the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. And also, he's not really a part of the conflict that happens for the rest of the episode.
No, it's set up to make it look like he was when the fight kicks off, but you're right, he wasn't.
Right. But he's still like, and yeah, maybe we'll just talk about it now. Like, I think that he is making really strong moves in the game. Like, yeah, he's just got a city now, which he didn't have before. Like, he was squatting in Dragonstone, but that belongs to Rhaenyra, apparently.
Yeah.
But somewhere he's got his army of 2,000 guys. You know, he has a city now. He has the potential to marry someone new.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, well, he inherited Runestone, but he could marry for power again now. So he's in a pretty good position.
And he's smart to show up to this wedding because, like, they don't want to kick him out and make a big scene straight away here. And so it lets all of these other important people see that, like, he's still in. He's still a part of it. Mm. He's still around.
Yep.
And he can't be told what to do. But he gets up and goes over to have a bit of a dance with Laino's sister first.
Laina, apparently.
Well, fair enough. Laina. Yeah. He has a little sort of semi chat with, not really about much in particular. But this is also where Joffrey and Laino go, like, Joffrey's like, I figured out who's the guy. I'm going to go say some shit to him that I won't regret. All right, see you later. And he does. He goes up to him and gives him, like, I know your secret. I'll tell you mine. we keep each other. We did one hand washes the other, buddy. All right.
Mm.
But he does say it sort of threateningly.
Yeah.
He says it sort of.
At least kind of rudely, you know, like.
Yes. I think the thing that he's doing that Kristen reacts to later is he is completely participating in the gross politicking that Kristen feels shame about.
Right. 100%. Yeah. He finds it distasteful and dishonorable, and this guy is reminding him, like, hey, you're complicit in it, remember?
Right. You fucked up, and now you're sucked into this, like, pit that you didn't think you would have to be a part of.
Right. But, yeah, but Joffrey's saying it in the, like, ah, it's kind of fun, hey? Yeah. We've got this, like, you know, mutual weird thing going on.
Look at this. We're like the bishops. You fuck the king, I fuck the queen. We're right next to him.
Yeah, but yeah. I guess we'll be going on a lot of double dates, if you know what I mean. Hey. So, you know.
Yeah. Are you the ghost or the duck? Which one was you? But yeah, Damon now.
I'm the Kristen Cole. I don't understand this analogy.
I'm simple and dumb. definitely not simple and dumb. Damon goes back over to Rhaenyra and he's like, hey, you hate this, right? Doesn't this suck for you? I thought you didn't want this bullshit. She's like, you told me marriage was just a politics thing. Like, how about you fucking steal me away from here if that's your plan?
Yeah.
Take me back to your castle, marry me, fight everyone off with your sword. Like, basically, like, I know that I'm part of your plan, but what are you going to fucking do about it?
Right. Yep.
And doesn't seem to, like, hate him. Is, like, challenging him, but still in, like, a weirdly, I don't want to say flirtatious, but, like, a charged way.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely something there. Yeah. Also because he just came back from dancing with Lena and visibly flirting with her, I feel like, and being like, hey, right. If we got married, that'd be really good. So I feel like he's done a little bit of the, like, you know, the classic make Rhaenyra a bit jealous sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all over the place. And
this series is going to be rife with incest, unfortunately.
Hey, I wouldn't have it any other way.
I guess, yeah, we had the Lannisters in Game of Thrones, but yes.
It's all over the shop.
Things are escalating everywhere at this party.
It's all boiling over. Everyone's talking. Everyone's all intrigued. You don't know who wants to fuck who in which way. Yep. Maybe they want to fuck them good. Maybe they want to fuck them over. Who knows? And
right.
It starts being sort of represented by the music, the drums bouncing up, and like the people are dancing more and more furiously and like in the way of the camera.
I believe it was... It was Cersei Lannister who said, in the Game of Thrones, you fuck or get fucked.
That's a game of life, the Game of Thrones, the game that I play in a secret location every Thursday at 9 p.m. But like the intrigue and stuff is boiling over in this way that, like you said, Joffrey is like having a bit of glee with it. And I think so are Daemon and Rhaenyra in their way. Where there's but then there's other people taking it seriously. Where like it shows Viserys looking over at Daemon and Rhaenyra, and as they sort of get like blocked by the crowd dancing in front of them, but they're having this intense conversation, and then Daemon grabs like her cheek, and you sort of lose track of what's happening, and then people start sort of screaming and shuffling out of the way, and there's like a bit of a crowd push and shit.
I was like, did I look away at the wrong moment? But yeah, you're right. That's how it starts. There's just a bit of a... There's a kerfuffle. There's a commotion happening.
The subtitles say grunting and screaming, and that's certainly what's happening. And like some of the...
I thought you're supposed to bloody consummate the marriage later that night. Okay.
Some of the redcoats kind of run in, and like some of the party is... They're all kind of screaming and looking and pushing and shoving, and it's unclear what's going on. Some people are like... Like, the king and stuff are staying back because, you know, obviously they've got to be protected if something's happening. And you see some shuffling that is Rhaenyra getting pushed out of the way. Daemon you don't see for all of this, but at some point you see Leno punch Kristen Cole out of the way, try to get him off of somebody, and then it cuts down and you see Joffrey with his face bleeding, pulling a knife out, and Kristen is beating the shit out of Joffrey.
Yeah.
Just two interesting characters murdered in their first appearance in this episode.
I know, that's such a shame. But yeah, it is odd that no one really steps in after, you know, Leno, you know, takes a backward step. Nothing is done. It's just Kristen Cole smashing the fuck out of this guy who, yeah, he's a knight as well. He's a noble house. He's not like, he doesn't lead a territory. I think his family are like under the Baratheons or something, but it's right. Like this guy's just a bodyguard and he's killing someone.
But he's a King's Watch, so people don't know if he has like a reason for it, maybe, I guess. And it's not like,
and I guess he did pull that knife, as you said. So right. It's like, oh, well, is that a threat? Like, is that what's happening?
And you're here? Right, like, he's an upper level guy, but he's not like a made man in the way where like, yeah, this fight can happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe not to the fucking extent that it does though, because like, yeah, boy, they have some prop department people make some fake eyes and stuff.
Yeah.
Really show that he has been beaten to death.
Yes. Yeah. Somebody bloody call Sophie Ellis-Bextor because there's been a murder on the dance floor.
And sure, if you want to hear someone promptly hang up, you do that. You call. Sophie, did you see House of the Dragon? Are you watching it? Oh, what do you mean you dropped off a Game of Thrones around season 3? It gets really good around there. But yeah, Kristen Cole has absolutely lost the plot and beaten the shit out of Joffrey here. Which, unfortunately, because Joffrey and King Viserys were both standing in that same water fountain on the day of a lightning storm and got struck by lightning, it's given Viserys a blood nose now too.
Yeah, I think you might have slightly misread what's happened there.
Well, because they're like joined because of that lightning storm. When he found the shoes on the power line afterwards, and then he could jump like Michael.
He found the shoes on the power line, and he could jump to the drug dealer's house and buy some drugs, because that's what that means.
Right.
Viserys, as he's been doing throughout this episode, he's been just getting more sick, and stress is, you know, clearly a trigger.
I think the excitement of this has bloodied his nose. Not the worst in the room to have it, because, like, yeah, again, we see
a mushed face.
Yeah, and Leno looking, you know, obviously very sad about it.
Yeah.
And then moments later, but, it, you know, that night, but not too long after, like, the food is still on the tables and the blood is still on the floor. Yes. I don't know if it's the normal way that things go, that the ceremony has to happen that night, or if they're speeding this up because they're like, well, maybe there's a threat now.
Yeah, I kind of got the feeling that they were just like, let's get this out of the way. Like, maybe people want to leave, you know, like, you know, all the guests and stuff are probably feeling threatened. Like, they probably just want
to,
yeah.
If that's the way, I reckon I'd have asked them to please clean up the blood first, because it really doesn't bode well for this new wedding, for it to take place over blood.
Yeah, they've got a lot of servants as well.
Yeah.
That surely could have done that.
So, I don't know why that is, but Rhaenyra and what's his proper name? Laenor.
Laenor, yeah.
Laenor. Yeah.
It's literally Laenor with an R at the end, which is annoying. Yeah, it is Laenor.
Well, Laenor and Rhaenyra, maybe Rhaenyra. Again, I don't know. I don't care as well. There.
Oh, yeah. Someone told us. So on Facebook, they commented with the phonetic pronunciation, and I just replied with Rhaenyra. I think it's Rhaenyra.
Rhaenyra and Laenor are now married.
They are indeed.
And they are crying. They are not happy. Kristen's in the garden about to kill himself. But yeah, they have this wedding, at the end of which I believe the king once again collapses.
He does. He does, yes.
And then that same rat from the end of The Departed is eating up the blood at the back of the room. But also the queen later on, I guess Kristen Cole was going to kill himself slightly later. The queen heads over and stops him from stabbing himself under the God's tree thing.
Yeah, which I'm like, surely he's going to get executed anyway. Like, he murdered someone.
If you had plans to destabilize the queen's reign, though, maybe you'd want around the guy who could be like, hey, I fucked her.
Definitely. Absolutely. It makes sense. It makes sense for Alicent. I just thought, like, surely the cops are going to arrest him. Like, this, you know, there's no... But again, if anyone can, you know, pardon someone, it's the standing queen.
And whatever, she can just have him kept in the prison for a while, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
She doesn't
that's
care
true,
about
actually.
That necessarily.
Yeah, chuck him in the cell. Actually, it's probably safer. You know, he can't run off and kill himself.
Another bloody wedding in the Game of Thrones verse, which I don't ever want to call it again.
No, that's very nerdy of you. That should be in the headline for the article you write about this episode. But yeah, like we said before, Lainor and Rhaenyra. Fuck, I'm doing one real name and one fake name now.
It's fun.
They thought they had it made. You know, they had it bloody made in the shade. They could have their lovers, and they could have their wedding cake and eat it too, as it were. But nope. Kristen Cole is really mad and is not going to be fucking Rhaenyra anymore. And Joffrey's dead. So, yeah. It's pretty fucked up.
A good classic Game of Thrones, everything set up. Here comes the curveball. The curveball makes total sense, but I didn't expect it.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. I love this. I love this episode. I feel like this, as an individual episode, like, could rank above most Game of Thrones episodes because it is... what I want from this show and what I loved from Game of Thrones. It's all like, unpredictable but realistic human drama. And,
right.
And it's, I think it's nailing it. I think it's being written really well. It's been performed fantastically. Like, you believe Kristen Cole is that earnest, naive guy.
Totally.
It's like a, you know, it's a, because of the guy's performance. Everyone's nailing it. I won't be sad to see Viserys go.
It's time.
I feel like he's fucked up enough things with his, you know, the way that he is, his personality and his sort of convictions. And if it happened one more time, it'd probably feel a bit repetitive. So I feel like him dying and leading to the next phase of complications is probably going to be welcome. Mm. I will say, yeah, that Paddy Considine has done a great job as Viserys, though. He's absolutely made that a believable character.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a good chance that we don't see him again after, I would guess, another time jump.
Right.
That would be my guess. I'd have no idea. Yeah. And I don't watch, like, the, you know, next week preview things. But I would assume another time jump is coming, maybe. Or, like, maybe midway through the next episode or something. But he certainly, like, I think that's the satisfying thing about this episode is these characters are all growing and changing in sort of a faster pace because everything has been established enough now that we can have Alicent change in a satisfying and logical way. Kristen Cole change, not even change, but just our perception of him change in a satisfying way. We can have the situation change in the satisfying way. Like, it's all ramping up as it has been, but, like, I just really want to keep seeing what's next.
Yeah, I'm so excited to watch this show every week. Like, I've had shows that I've enjoyed lately, but this is really like I'm watching it at 10:59 a.m. You know, like, I'm so excited to see it.
I know, and, like, the fact that, like, watching this and Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power at the same time, couldn't be at further ends of the spectrum in almost every element of what's going on in it. Like,
yeah, right. I'm curious to hear about it. Lord of the Rings on our Patreon podcast for Filthy Casuals.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I guess it's kind of sort of works as the Patreon for this as well. Because we, if you want to hear us talk about other pop culture like Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, or movies or whatever, you can go to patreon.com/filthycasualspod. You'll be also giving a bit of money to Tommy Dasilo, so I hope you don't dislike him for some reason. But yeah, we talk about that stuff over there. But yeah, this show is really standing up as, like, genuine prestige TV.
I really thought it wouldn't, honestly, as well. I was pretty ready for it to be disappointing, and it hasn't been yet. So keen to watch more next week, keen to hear other people's thoughts about what's going on with some emails and stuff. What's the address?
Yeah.
Are you talking to me pod?
@gmail.com, and I believe on Instagram we're just Are You Talking To Me. I don't think anyone else got that handle.
Yeah, nice.
So yeah, you can get us on the email or on the Instagram. Just remember, we want your sort of reflections on this week rather than, and your predictions on next week, but we'll be reading them after we've seen the next episode.
Right, so, right. We just want to try to avoid spoilers and stuff too.
Avoid spoilers. I'd love to hear your theories. Thanks for the background information from people who are sending that stuff in. The character map was very helpful. We hope you've been enjoying House of the Dragon, and we hope you've been enjoying this podcast. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.